This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A last-ditch effort is underway to prevent $350 million in cuts to a state Medicaid program that provides therapy to disabled children. Federal and state lawmakers are asking the federal government to intervene. There's even a bipartisan support for not going forward with these cuts. The budget axe is supposed to fall on July 15th. But this battle has been going on since September 1st of this last year. Families impacted by these cuts also are suing the state and are asking the Texas Supreme Court to block the cuts. But the damage could already be done as home health care providers are dropping out of the program because the reimbursement rate is too low and the state program is in disarray. So if you or your family is being impacted by these Medicaid cuts to home health home therapy, call in. Tell us what's happening. We want to hear your story. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet us at tprsource. We're joined in the studio with Holly Grogan. She is the ECI, Early Childhood Intervention Program Director at the Brighton Center. And with us on the line is Stephanie Rubin. She is the CEO of Texans Care for Children. And welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Hi.
So, Holly, you're dealing with the kids. Your program is providing services to children. Tell me about what you do and how these cuts, what would it mean for you and these kids?
Okay. Brighton Center, the Early Childhood Intervention Program is a state and federal funded program, and we provide services to children from birth to age three who have a developmental delay or some kind of disability like Down syndrome or autism or something like that. Over 50% of our budget is based on billing private insurance or Medicaid, whatever that family has. And the ECI program is an entitlement program, meaning it is in federal law that ECI has to be provided to those children under three. So what that means is if we have a child that we're serving that's two, that has Down syndrome or autism or was born prematurely, that needs these services, we go into their natural environment in their home and provide the occupational therapy, the speech therapy, the physical therapy, as well as developmental services in the home.
I mean, these are children that are developmentally delayed.
Yes.
They have severe problems. These are complicated health issues.
Yes. So if a child is born prematurely, it takes them a while to catch up to their chronological age. And so if we're not able to provide those services to those kids, then those are services that then move on to the special education program in the school district.
So these are those costs will be passed along, but they'll also be, you know, greatly, you know, they'll be bigger.
Yes, definitely.
Because you want to catch these things early as possible,
yes.
Deal with children when they're in this critical time of life. Maybe a child is having trouble learning to swallow. That can be something that can really be dealt with.
Definitely. Early is always best.
Okay. And so, and maybe some of these children have seizure issues and transporting them frequently to have therapy is complicated.
Yes. So the fact that we provide the service in the home is a huge deal for a lot of our families. They don't have to get the children out of the home to receive those services. We also are educating the parents on how to work with their child while we're providing those services. So if we're not there, they know how to help
monitor.
Help their child during bath time to maybe talk more or things like that.
And clear breathing tubes and things
yes.
of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So this is critical stuff.
Yes, definitely.
And now the state is talking about making cuts, deep cuts, to paying for the reimbursement program that allows this program to exist here in Texas. And there are federal dollars involved as well. So Stephanie Rubin over at Texans Care for Children, how do we get to this location, to this time where we're looking at this program being cut so severely?
Well, Dave, you know, the ECI program has actually been strained for many years now with budget cuts by the legislature. And, you know, Brighton is a nonprofit community provider, as are all ECI agencies across the state. And there's just not room to have these extra cuts that will impact kids. So we're now at a place where more than 60,000 kids could be impacted by these therapy rate cuts. We will actually have a new report coming out later this summer, which will show that enrollment in ECI has been going severely down for years already. We've just seen in the news over the last week that three ECI providers around the state have announced that they will no longer offer ECI next year because the financial strain is just too much for this community agency. So we're really concerned about whether kids and families are going to be able to get the early intervention support they need to be ready for school and to succeed in school.
So an ECI provider like you have, Holly, at the Brighton Center, you hire healthcare providers and you send them to these locations, or how does that work?
Yes, we hire the therapist and they go out to the homes or the daycare, wherever that child spends their day.
And so as we learned that providers are dropping out of the program, those are like Brighton Center type operations.
Yes. Well, yes, there are ECI programs that are no longer doing it, and it's also home health agencies as well.
And so would this like leave gaps, geographical gaps in coverage, Stephanie, in parts of Texas?
Well, clearly. I mean, the three providers who just announced that they will no longer offer ECI next year serve counties that have no other ECI provider. So there may be others who try to pick those kids up, but you know, as our report will show, the enrollment drops have been quite large, and this is when the population of young kids in Texas has been going up. So we're not doing a good job of serving all the kids and families in need. And the legislature, I think, is really starting to pay attention, as you mentioned, with bipartisan support for taking another look at the proposed cuts to therapy rates.
But Stephanie, as you know, with your organization, Texans Care for Children, you have gone to court and sought some sort of relief to prevent these cuts from going into place. And there was an issue of standing, and the courts did not find in on your side.
Well, the home health agencies took the case to court, and the appellate court, did not rule in their favor, and they have now gone to the state Supreme Court for an emergency delay of the cuts. So we're waiting for that court decision. And as you mentioned, legislators and some congressional leaders, including Lloyd Doggett, who represents San Antonio, have asked the federal Medicaid agency that has to approve Medicaid rate cuts to take a look and intervene if there's truly going to be harm to kids.
Right, and Lloyd Doggett is the ranking minority member on the subcommittee that would oversee Medicaid, so he has some leverage in trying to get to the bottom of this. We'll see if he's able to do so. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to check in with Representative Diego Bernal. He's got something to add to this discussion. We'll continue talking about these cuts, $350 million in cuts to the state Medicaid program. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The state budget is calling for slashing the Medicaid therapy rate. This means disabled children in Texas will no longer get home health treatments because providers say they can't pay enough to do the job. These Medicaid cuts could disproportionately impact low-income, disabled, and special needs children across the state. These cuts are based on a report that told lawmakers that the state was overpaying, but now that report is seen as flawed and misleading, but the state is sticking by the cuts. We invite you into our conversation, 210-614-8980, 614-8980, as we take a look at this. The deadline is coming up on July 15th, and Representative Diego Bernal joins us to give us his point of view. Diego, Representative Bernal, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I wanted to reiterate something you said. You were asking families to call in and share their story, and I think that as you very carefully detailed the narrative and the process that this has gone through, we're at a point now where the federal government, CMS, really holds all the cards, and they need to really understand what it would look like in this state were these cuts to take effect. And so in the same way that you encourage families to call and tell their stories to you, I also want to take the opportunity to encourage them to contact CMS and say, this is what it will look like. This will look like for my family. This will look like for my patients if these cuts go into effect. I don't think that we fully grasp the gravity of the situation, and being that CMS, the federal government, now is going to make the ultimate decision, they really need to understand. And I can't stress that enough.
This whole, these cuts were based upon a report, a study on pediatric acute therapy services among states. It was called the Texas A&M study, even though now Texas A&M is disavowing this study. But this is what the lawmakers, the budget makers in Austin were saying. They believe that we were overpaying for these services. And now this report is totally, people are saying it's messed up. It is a hot mess and should not be used to justify these cuts, but still the cuts are going forward.
Right. Well, I mean, this is just another example of people playing politics with people's lives and their health. I mean, personally, I believe that any time, at least in the state legislature, you have the federal government and healthcare together, the state is going to knee-jerk and try to either distance itself or cut funding, and that's what's happened here. And what they've done is they've literally gone after the most vulnerable Texans that we have, these children that have these severe challenges. So sometimes when people want to play politics and go back home and say that they sort of wag their finger at the federal government, there's a real human cost to that. And what's happened is early on there was a letter sent to CMS, and it was only signed by Democrats. We could not get any Republicans to sign on. And then as they heard from people in their communities more and more, now there's a very strong coalition of Democrats and Republicans saying, hey, this is going to really hurt people. It's not just numbers on a paper. It's not just, you know, primary voter fodder. This is a real issue with real consequences that affect human beings. And now we're getting some traction in terms of a coalition. But unfortunately, all we've got, our last hope now, is CMS.
And what about the state Texas Supreme Court? Could they block the cuts?
I think they could. I'm anxious to see how that turns out. I'm not sure. It's hard for me to predict the way that the Texas Supreme Court will rule, just because they're essentially a partisan body, and I'm not sure if this issue is radiated to them or not. I hope that it has, but what you're hearing from me is even if they say no, the cuts are going to continue, we still have CMS to go to. So if they say yes, great, then we can go back to the drawing board. But I'm sort of looking ahead because I'm not sure I can count on that.
And what about the loss of federal dollars that are included in this? As the state looks to cut $350 million, that's also a loss of about $400 million in federal Medicaid dollars.
That's right. That's right. But you're using something that is rare in the legislature these days, and that's logic. I think that what I've learned in my short time there is that sometimes, in fact, I'd venture to say often, politics trumps all. And this was something where a lot of legislatures wanted to sort of take it and put it to the federal government. And what they did instead was hurt vulnerable children. So I agree with you. That makes a lot of sense. But just because it makes sense doesn't mean that it's going to happen or have traction, unfortunately.
All right. Representative Diego Bernal, thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to continue our conversation. Let's get Clayton on the air. He's called in, and our number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation. Clayton, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Claiborne.
Yes. Well, hi. We're new to San Antonio. This is our sixth year. When we first moved here, my son was 6 months old, had hearing loss, speech delay, so forth and so on. I forget how we found ECI, but they sent a doctoral level speech therapist to our house like twice a week. And the fact that she was making the house call was it leveraged him being in his own environment. It's like, okay, it's Tuesday, it's Debbie, let's do this. If I had to get him up, get ready, rush to wherever, so forth and so on, he would have been busy crawling over all over their office and going, oh, this is new, and so forth and so on. I mean, and I was surprised that in San Antonio, we didn't have to pay for ECI. So the money that's been spent on it in the past is worth it, and I think we should continue to spend the money.
All right, Claiborne, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Good information there. Stephanie Rubin at the Texans Care for Children, can you get your reaction to what Claiborne told us, or also Diego Bernal?
Yeah, we've been hearing from many families who are very concerned about what's going to happen to them if the therapy rate cuts go through and if the legislature continues to cut back on ECI. What I think Representative Bernal did not mention is, you know, the Texas governor and legislative leadership can, you know, take a strong stance and say, let's postpone the implementation of these cuts until we have more information about how much kids and families will be harmed. You know, they could certainly wait until next session to have, you know, more information, whether it's a study that's methodologically sound or more families coming in and talking. But, you know, certainly our Texas leaders can put a stop to this if they want to.
Sure. We have the Texas Legislative Budget Board, and this is the Joe Strauss, the speaker, Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor, and Governor Abbott. They can get together and they can pretty much do anything. There's a lot of flexibility there. And if they decide that this is kind of, we don't know what's happening here, too much is at stake, we can figure things out, let's not do these budget slashes, that's not going to cripple Texas. But it will certainly help a lot of children who need this help.
That's right. And you know, the governor and Representative Strauss, you know, in particular, have been very good champions for early childhood in this state, supporting increases in, you know, funding for pre-K quality, something also San Antonio has been a leader in. And I think, you know, the investments in early childhood will be undercut and undermined if we continue to roll back our support for ECI and for kids with disabilities, because as Holly mentioned, we will just see higher special education costs down the road, which is a cost to budgets, and that's, of course, on top of what a tragedy this would be for kids and families.
Okay, let's go to another caller, and the number is 210-614-8980. If you want to join the conversation, we'd love to have you. Joseph has called in. Joseph, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Joseph. I'm a music therapist in San Antonio. Thank you for taking my call. One comment that I wanted to make in this instance is the fact that I contract out the home health care agencies, work with special needs kids, and so many times these families, it's a lifeline to them. They have so many things going on with the special needs of their children, and these therapies that come in, whether they be the traditional therapies or the specialized therapies like music therapy, it is such a lifeline to them to help them in their daily living. And I've already lost so many clients in the past because Texas made budget cuts instead of giving funding to each individual therapy. They grouped all the specialized therapies together. We have to fight for the funding there. It's frustrating to see that, and you see that in the faces and the lifestyles of these families because they keep losing. Every turnaround, they face another loss and another loss and another loss, and it's just such a bear on their life.
All right, Joseph, thank you for calling in. Appreciate your information. Let me ask you, Holly Grogan over at the Brighton Center, you're the program director for the ECI program there. What kind of child would you say needs music therapy, and how would it benefit them?
Typically, probably a child with a speech delay or a child with autism, somebody like that. And with that specialized therapy, most children, what happens is, sorry, I'm
that's okay.
Kind of losing my train
no,
of
so,
thought.
So would, if you had a child between 1 and 3, severely autistic, and you say maybe music therapy would draw them out of their shell and during this critical time and can make all the difference in that child's or that individual's entire life.
Right. Well, and what happens, those families are the ones that can't invest in that therapy. So if Medicaid's not going to cover those therapies or they're going to cut those rates to those type of therapies, those are the very families that can't invest in that.
Right. That's why we're hearing that these are cuts that could impact the most vulnerable and low-income families as well.
Yes.
And the most severely disabled. And so Stephanie Rubin at Texans Care for Children, I guess we just watch and wait. What's happening here?
Well, I think, you know, the listeners need to contact their legislators, and they can certainly come to our website, www.txchildren.org. We have information. We have, you know, an action alert. We will be talking to legislators and the governor's office and the Health and Human Services Agency and making sure, you know, that your neighbors know what's going on. And we all need to speak out. And I think already our state leaders are starting to listen, but we need the pressure to be even stronger.
All right, I'm going to get one quick last caller on the air, Dr. Rajan. Dr. Rajan, welcome to The Sorcerer on the Air. Doctor?
Hello there. Yes, this is Dr. Rajam Ramamurthy. I have experience using the ECI service exclusively for taking care of these very tiny premature babies who have survived, and this is the only resource that is available for them for their ongoing care, which they desperately need for the next 2, 3 to 5 years of their life. And I think funding cuts in this area is really a very tragic thing for Texas children.
All right. I appreciate you calling in and giving us your insight into these developments. And Holly, you have a contract with the state of Texas to provide these services. Anything that could change that status?
Not this year. We will definitely reapply.
And so you will reapply, but when do you reassess and figure out that the math just isn't there? But you also get supplemental support from grants and,
yes,
and donors.
Right. Actually, for next fiscal year, that funding application is due next week. And so we've chosen to go forth with fiscal year.
And once the contract 17. Is given, you have no choice. You have to provide the services.
Yes.
And then it comes to a point, though, you have to realize, you know, the numbers have to make sense.
Yes.
All right, Holly Grogian, thank you so much. Early Childhood Intervention Program Director at the Brighton Center, and also Stephanie Rubin at the Texans Care for Children. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for joining us.